Inseparable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
Well, it must be Tuesday because we're here with our admirable friend.
Yes, in the beginning of the new cycle.
Yes, no. Back to the beginning.
Back to the beginning. We turn everything back, Alex, and you're back with us today as a regular now, I think.
Back by popular demand.
Yes, popular demand. The votes came in.
Yes.
Yeah. Really kind of unique to have him here, Carol.
It's nice.
It is nice. But in any case, tonight is on doubt and determination, which is the number one ideal mind quality. And Alex, what makes it number one in your mind?
It's the beginning with the end in mind. I mean, if this one's not good, it's real tough to get the other ones in place.
Yeah. That's why those of you who are regular with us, it's great. We're going to discuss it again. Any newcomers that are listening, I think it's a perfect time to come in and join the show.
It is. And something that we're adding tonight for those that are listening is we've solicited from our admirable friends, we put a kind of an all-points bulletin out and said, please write into us and share some of your doubts and determinations and things that went into it to make it successful or not, and just kind of...
We got some great material.
We do. We've got some wonderful material tonight. So
and it's all you got to do is call on admirable friends, and then they show up.
That's right. And so we're excited about sharing it later on
the second half of the show. Instead of just necessarily telling our story, we're going to actually bring our guests, our other admirable friends, into the show under the topic of doubt and determination. And if it works, we'll continue with that format, which is really good. It's the takeoff of what we usually do: first half kind of educational, and then work our way into the practical side of...
Well, I hope it works, because it's kind of the basis for the whole... We want to create conversation.
We do. We
around
have
these qualities. And that's, you know, that's a bit of a movement. I mean, it's got to take some time, some momentum, and it takes others.
Yeah. And so all we had to do was ask, and we've got a load. Madam X didn't reply this week, though.
No, but... Next week.
Next week? Okay. Madam X is usually the one who writes to us, and we're trying to find out who that Madam X is.
Well, we'll figure it out. Maybe not. It doesn't matter.
But she didn't write to us this time.
At least she's interested in sharing, so that's
okay.
Important.
And don't forget our chat line at bbsradio.com, Admirable Friends. We'll take and comment bring about any comments that are on the chat line, would like to enter into the show. But most importantly, we've got plenty of material. But let's start our show as we usually do, kind of switching things around and recognizing gratitudes. And before we actually spit those gratitudes out, I just want to again frame how we determine a gratitude is essentially a recognizing and reflection, the kind action of others. And we try to start with the person that we are grateful to and the action that we recognize the gratitude. We look deeply to on their motives, to kind of trust their motives, see if they went out of their way for the action, and then we reflect on that action. Because what we try to do is recognize the kind action of others and hopefully reflect and take those into our own life. And the trick about gratitudes and to recognize gratitudes is what, Alex?
The trick to recognizing them?
Yeah.
Tell me.
And man, you want to take a crack at that one, Carol? Well, if you're not generous yourself, you're not going to see the generosity in others towards you.
You know, it was funny you talk about that, because I think you and I were talking earlier, and I was thinking to myself with a
gratitude.
Well, no, I was thinking, hey, would it be wrong to, I don't know if this is, you know, tooting your own horn, but my own gratitude towards my own gratuitous act?
No,
and I said,
that's
isn't
right.
That more of a... That's an act of kindness, right?
To
and
yourself.
So then it framed an act of, or a gratitude to yourself.
No,
and so
it
kind of shifted there. There were some other ways to get some gratitude out of the day.
But what we're not allowing gratitudes to be is appreciations. So, you know, you can't have gratitude for a warm, sunny day. That would be an appreciation. Gratitudes have to recognize a kind action of others. Not necessarily for a feeling for an incident or an event that you appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So we do differentiate those. Who wants to start? Gratitudes?
I don't mind starting.
Go for it.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep it going because we got a lot of material to cover.
I know. So my gratitude is to the admirable friends that actually wrote in and described.
You stole my gratitude.
I did not.
You did. Okay,
didn't
I'll
even
scramble.
Know that was
I'll
yours.
Scramble. Go.
But anyways, what I wanted to say was I'm grateful for those that wrote in, because after reading them, I found that I am more, it inspired me and deepened my determination after I read them.
Oh, good. So
yes.
I can really use it too, because I had a different reflection on that gratitude. But let's just understand yours now. It deepened your determination that they actually wrote in. Excellent.
It because I saw that the people that were writing in, they had a deep desire and intention to want to fulfill this reliable happiness journey and make commitments.
You read that in their document.
Yes, towards
excellent.
Fulfilling that. And I thought, me too. And it's nice to see admirable friends. And part of it is that they're slugging at it just like I am. And so that reinforces to me that I'm okay, I'm on the right road, and it inspires me to deepen my determination and my practice so that I can be on the road too. So maybe I can help them as well further down, and they can help me, and I draft off of them.
That's
so
nice.
I'm grateful to them. So thank you very much to those of you that wrote in.
Well, let me go on my gratitude, because it's the same one. I actually, mine's on the computer in the public gratitude. So those of you that want to check that public gratitude, you can see that that I'm not selling a fib. She just grabbed the same thing I did. But in any case, I recognize the kind of action of admirable friend. But what I got for them were two words, the lesson learned or the reflection on that kind act of them writing into us was courage and trust. Trust that they would trust us to keep the information confidential.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't glowing with determination. There was more doubt in their letters than determination. But that's where I look at the courage side. It's,
right.
That's courageous.
It was very courageous.
You know, to come out and say, I have these doubts and write them down for us. And they're honest. And I think the people are going to, please stay on the second half hour, because they're great letters.
And I think you appreciate the authenticity of it all.
That's what I tried to recognize. Maybe I didn't use the right word courage, but that's what I'm trying to say, Carol.
Right. But I too thought it was very courageous of them to write in, because it was a wonderful thing. So.
Okay. Alex?
My gratitude falls on more on the type of day it is today in celebrating Veterans Day. And having veterans in our family, long lineage there, and coming from the Northeast, where that's a very proud area up there of their veterans, and especially down here in Texas, a lot of flags, a lot of people, a lot of veterans coming from the state. And it was kind of a blanket for all veterans. Very grateful that people would put others before that, you know, it really is a selfless act to go into, say, in order for the survival of freedom for everybody else, it's going to take my actions to go do something. And to put others before yours and to do something like that, I think is one of the most special things, and I think is what really at the core of
right.
humanity, that, you know.
That one would do something for many.
One would do something for many.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because when we used to do developments, Carol, and you know, real estate developments, and we would have communities,
mm-hmm.
one of the things I always used to work against was what was called the tragedy of the commons, which was everybody was looking for something out of the community. It's almost like taking the goose,
mm-hmm.
to get the eggs out of the goose. And so everyone was interested in self-interest, and a lot of times you had to write your bylaws in your community, so someone took care of the common. But there's an opposite case. That's a reciprocal case on Veterans Day. It's not just worrying about whether someone's interested in self-interest to sacrifice the commons. They're doing the exact opposite. They are individually doing something to help the commons.
And
that's what makes it such a
And when we talk about something like determination, and I think about what kind of determination those veterans had in order to get them back home or for them
right.
to accomplish their mission. I mean, those are things to reflect on, which I spent a good portion reflecting on today. You know, I looked at their actions and said, what is it I can do today to honor their actions?
Yeah.
How can I continue that wave of doing something for others? Even though, you know, being a veteran or going into the Army is not something I may do, is there a way that I can find that same effort and that same selflessness in my own path, in my own journey now, much like theirs was?
Well, much like a gratitude, there's a repayment option. And one thing I heard in the radio that I'll just kind of parrot back to you was that these veterans come back from war, and one thing they don't have is community to discuss their problems with. And the suggestion was that we would have a town hall or allow a town hall where we would just listen. Because some of their stories, you know, aren't necessarily patriotic. They're feeling bad because they may have killed somebody or a friend died.
Mm-hmm.
But just, and it made me think of Admirable Friends, you know, that they could be so honest and authentic about their experience and be able to voice that, have that forum to voice that conversation, which they don't readily have. They come back, they go through psychotherapy individually, but they never have an opportunity to talk with others mm-hmm. about their experience, which is part of therapy. Okay, and, you know, wouldn't it be nice that if we had on Veterans Day a town hall where we would just sit and listen to their stories and be accepting and allowing of what they went through, and if they had that forum to do it. Now, that would be one way that we could participate and help.
Absolutely.
On the backdrop of that, I would like to give a shout-out to my sister Joanne, who is Air Force veteran, but currently a full-time Air Force reservist who was in Afghanistan just about a year and a half ago, and very much want to tell her how much we're proud of her for serving the
yeah.
country and how special she is to us for doing it.
Yeah. I think it's great, Alex. That's a great gratitude. I know how you feel about killing in war, but to still recognize those veterans, even if that might make you not necessarily positive on killing, but you also are able to recognize that they did something that they had to do.
Right. They come from all, you know, people come from all different places with all different reasons and get into things for all number of things. And I think when you step back and look at it, it's a pretty amazing thing to see somebody that just kind of says, you know what, there was a quote, I think, you know, where somewhere where it said, you know, if no one's going to be it, you know, you have to be that voice, you know. And so, yeah, very, very, very grateful to be in a country where we can appreciate that sort of thing, where we can look at our veterans, and we should. We should go out there. It's sad for me to see some of the things that go on with veterans, to be honest with you. And like you said, I'm not really bent on war and things of that nature, but, I mean, you know, these men and women in arms have done something truly heroic and deserve to be revered in a way that shows that respect
right.
Daily. And it's not a matter of, you know, you can do it in any number of ways, voicing it, but really it's how you live your life that shows them what their actions meant to you.
Right.
And so just, and it's always great. If it's only for one day, that brings you back to those. You know, if it's a,
it's a
Veteran Day trigger, then let that be the trigger and bring you back. But just so you should know, every day should be lived in those sorts of ways.
That's what the managers do for you each day.
Yeah.
We were talking about that today with someone else that was just coming onto the system. You just take every morning and do one appreciation and one gratitude. I give everybody a 5-day challenge. Change your life. You know, it'll flip things around, won't it? You know, get on that computer, do one gratitude and one appreciation each day.
I think it'll prove something to the individual as well. I mean, if
5-day challenge.
Most people look at that and say, 5-day challenge? Huh, I can do that. It's not as easy as you think.
Especially the way we frame the gratitude.
It's not as easy as you think. To set aside to, we were talking about willpower with that and really getting up each morning and
that was a determination. A smaller determination.
Right,
each day.
Right into today. So,
but in the context of the big picture, it does help turn the mind around. We don't wake up with that attitude of entitlement. What's in it for me today is I hunt for things that I like. You all of a sudden start your day the exact opposite, thinking about who you're grateful to,
mm-hmm.
what kind of acts you receive, and what you appreciate.
Right.
It's a total different approach.
I'll tell you what, and as the day goes, we've talked about this before, there's choices that energize you and there's choices that deplete you.
Yeah.
This is one of those choices. You get the best of both worlds. You expend no energy, but you gain more energy out of doing it. Why wouldn't you?
Carol would call that a deposit to the emotional bank account.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what she has. She has deposits and withdrawals, right?
Right.
Or in what do they call that? Management of maybe a win-win scenario.
Okay. Let's just go through determination is the number one thing. Doubt and determination, because really determination is kind of confidence, conviction, lots of other words that encompass determination, but there's an overriding quality that like you said, Alex, starts with the end in mind. It takes the big picture of determination. It not only includes the big determination, the one thing in life that drives us, but it also, determination, another word would be goals,
mm-hmm.
right, is weekly determinations, things that go within the context of the big goal. But the elements of a good determination are basically four aspects which frame our 10 ideal mind qualities. And Carol, those four aspects are?
Well, it's wisdom, truth, letting go, and learning to be calm.
So those are four things that would make a good determination. Okay, who wants to take a crack at what would make a why is wisdom or discernment part of a good determination?
Well, in order to make a skillful goal, so to speak,
you got to use discernment.
You have to use discernment.
Right. So right out of the get-go, you got to pick which discernment it is.
That's correct.
So discernment faculty has to be used to actually pick the goal.
And as often you've said before, it's like putting a ladder against the building and it's
right.
the wrong building.
You got to hit the
like, why
the
do the work if you're not going to be skillful?
Next question. Okay, truth. What aspect, which truth? Now, under the truth quality, under the truth heading of our mind qualities, we have authenticity, right? We have virtue, and then we have persistence. What dimension of truth do you think makes a good determination?
I think the truth has to be, it actually goes along with the discernment of the wisdom, is giving yourself a choice that is true to who you are. You know, it's putting a choice in front of you.
How about being true to the actual commitment that you make in the determination?
There's that too.
Right.
Staying true to it, but also in choosing that determination, making sure that it's true to
to you. Okay. Well, I like that one, but I'm going to lobby for making the truth be that I put my, when I go and I make a determination, I have to realize that I'm putting my own credibility at risk. And that's even more reason why you have to be wise as to not pick goals that are too high, because you're like a choo-choo train going up. I know I can. So it's very important, because if you set goals that are too high, you end up, leaving the whole goal setting thing and say, I don't even want to set goals. Well, you know, because you put your credibility at risk. And it was in some of these letters, as we'll get to them later on. There was a little bit of doubt because of their inability to be true to their determinations. So is it because they were not truthful? I don't necessarily think so. I think it's part of the process of learning how to set effective determinations, and in particular, be aligned with the big determinant.
But I think the truthfulness comes with the honesty, being honest with yourself. Is this determination, this goal that I'm setting, attainable? Is it skillful, leading me to reliable happiness? Is it going to be harmful to me, harmful to others? The honesty factor's got to be there, because that'll really eliminate a lot of the
I think it's
stuff.
A way of learning to trust yourself. If you have doubt, which is the opposite of determination, it's because you don't necessarily trust yourself. And that's why the truthful dimension of your determination is such an important aspect. Okay, third element. It has to include a letting go quality or a restraint quality. Why do you think it does?
I was just telling my son today. I was just telling him, you know, if you want something, you realize you're going to have to sacrifice something to get what you want.
Hit it out of the park, Alex. That's all it is.
You know, I mean,
any goal that you set that's worthy, you're going to have to give something up to attain the new goal.
Absolutely.
Because you're reaching for levels that you haven't already got, by the definition of a goal.
Right.
And if you're already, you know, living with a certain level of likes and preferences, you're going to have to give some of those preferences up to obtain the goal.
If you don't believe there's anything you need to let go, then we'll just say you've arrived and we'll move on to the next person.
There's no need for goals.
Okay.
No need for goals.
So,
no need for
thank you very much. We'll go to the next person. Congratulations. But for the rest of us, we're not quite there. And we do realize, and that goes back to the truth, is knowing. is knowing. I think I know what I need to let go of. I think I know
and then you're using discernment, what to choose,
to let go.
They're all related, but let's try to stay with each one.
Correct.
Because these are the four elements that frame the entire 10 ideal mind qualities, and they make up a good determination.
Yes.
Last one.
Is learning to be calm.
I love this one. Now, what makes this one part of the good determination?
If you're in the thick of thin things, so to speak, you can't see clearly. So you need to have some sort of meditative or reflective practice that brings it down a notch, so that gives you the space. As I always say, that space.
Okay, so you're coming at the meditation angle. You got an angle on it, Alex?
I do have an angle on it.
What's yours?
I think the learn to be calm is like this comfort in that process, in this comfort in that the path that you're on towards the determination work. I think it loops right back into wisdom. Because when you can learn to be calm with the letting go and the determination up there,
right.
I mean, you're in a state where, I mean, things are proving themselves up, and it builds more wisdom around that determination.
So you talk about confidence?
A lot of confidence, composure, those sorts of things.
That's the
patience.
I get it.
You know, and from that, you know, when you submit to letting go of the things you know you need to let go of, on the other side of that mountain, it's pretty peaceful.
Yeah.
It's pretty peaceful.
Okay. I'm going to come at it from a different angle.
Okay.
Okay, so what makes an element of calm, and I'm going to talk in first person, because I know as a goal setter from early on, being a businessman, just out of college, and you know, Carol, my goals from the beginning were financial and what we were going to do professionally and everything else. It's the way we started our life together after we both graduated from college. But I will tell you that when your number one determination is not aligned with inner mind qualities, and it has to do with external possessions, relationships, notoriety, blah, 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 anything external, you've set your determination that way, then any subsequent goals that you have that are aligned with that external determination will not produce a calm. Mm. I've taken the contrarian approach in my life. It actually produces stress.
I like how you said subsequent there, and I want to be very clear. The subsequent, if the external is the highest determination, the subsequent goals
are above a failure.
Right. That's not to say that there aren't external goals.
Yeah.
That's just if those are the ones being put up at the highest level, then the subsequent don't get there. So,
a lot of our letters talked about not achieving goals. Well, I can say that I achieved a lot of my external goals in life, and I still had stress. So I like the test that says, if the goal that you achieved does not produce calm, you better go back to the top of the whole puzzle and start at the beginning.
It's like chutes and ladders. See it.
Huh?
Like chutes and ladders. You go back.
You go back. So that's how I come at the calm side. Anyways, we just, you know, went through the whole aspects of what makes a good determination.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really going to help in the discussion is for us to start with the big picture of let's try. You know, last week we had, those of you that listened to us, we had kind of an honest discussion, an impromptu discussion as to what motivates you, Alex, what motivates Carol, what motivates me in terms of fear towards the end game. You remember that discussion we had? How we skillfully used fear to motivate us towards achieving the inner mind qualities long term in our life. But one of the things I'd like to do is walk us through a multiple choice kind of question that is going to be in our system for people having them set their big determination. Because the way the system is designed under the key determination, the first thing we do as admirable friends is try to take a crack at our overall determination. Right? And then we do weekly determinations or weekly goals and objectives that are aligned with that overall objective. So the in our curriculum, in our website, under a list.
Did we do the definition of determination?
No, you want to give a crack at
it? I do. Before you give these choices, I want to make sure that we understand that determination is an exercise of will that skillfully directs desire with firmness and purpose.
So we're going to cover the purpose side. And skillfully directs desire, that says a mouthful. So in terms of the big picture, if we go to curriculum lists and we see let's think about the end game. And to the best of our ability, we came up with four kinds of frames to look at the end
reflections
game.
Backwards.
Reflections, if we were at the end of our life and we were saying this is what our life ended up to be, okay? The first option was a pleasurable life. You know, and that's the hope that the pleasurable memories exceed those of our unpleasant memories.
Mm-hmm.
The second option would be a significant life. And that basically means the hope that we will be remembered for our outward accomplishments. The third choice would be an internally fulfilled life. And that's basically the hope that we've developed internal qualities of heart and mind and helped others with the same. The hope that these mind qualities serve us well in the afterlife. And the fourth option would be a life of contribution. And that's the hope that others have benefited from our contributions in life. So basically, and if any of us, you want to text in or email us, if you can think of another choice you would have in life looking backward, but that's the best we could do with all of our admirable friends. Those are your choices. So rather than have to write our mission out in a script format, let's start by walking through those four choices. Have you guys got any feelings or reflections on those four choices?
I spoke with you earlier about my reflection on these four choices is I really like it because for someone like me, I love goal setting, right? Achiever, maximizer, we're talking about setting goals is what I like to do. But somehow I always get down on myself for really not setting goals, much like determination, because there's no context to it. It's just like, go ahead and set a goal, all right? And some of these get done and some of them don't, but I have some trouble looking deep into the future and putting something out there far enough that the steps in front of it are all in that line and kind of go towards that. And so I couldn't find a goal to set far enough to allow my other short-term goals to all fall in line with it. So when I looked at these four, I looked at and saw four different options that I said, if I put this out far enough, and I said, this is my life's determined, you know, this is the determination, this is the goal, and everything else kind of falls into that. I mean, these four had stood a much better chance than leaving it open and saying, hey, come up with something that you're going to work towards your life towards. It really did.
I had a visual picture when you talked about that. It's almost like a jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so once you finish the
lay out all pieces,
the puzzle, you've got a visual of the image that you just put together. And each goal is towards the bigger picture.
Yep.
So all those little pieces of the puzzle make the bigger fabric of what you're doing.
So that's the framework.
And the great thing is that the four of them, I've played with them. I've put some of these out there and then have looked to see through the process of
living them
and setting up other subsequent goals to get to them. Does it work? Is this going to sustain? And so I put it out there.
So you've all been very political about what you're saying here, but are you going to say that you've had any negative experience with any of those goals?
I have.
Which one?
A pleasurable life, number one.
What's the matter with wanting the hope of pleasurable memories exceed those of the unpleasant memories?
Well, because I believe sometimes your memories can lead you astray. What do they say? The sharpest ink is better than the memory. I don't know. See, I already forgot it, but... That goes to show you. That one can get you in trouble.
Do you like to point out any of those four?
Well, for me, one that I just immediately crossed off the list was a life of contribution. And because I find that...
there's a compassionate fool and saying, I don't want to be
there
this.
There you go. You said it quite clearly. Because I fall into the trap of being the compassionate fool. I go overboard and I lose all sense of doing it. And
so you're saying if you had lived a life and all you were known for was contributing to others and there'd be nothing left for you, that would not be a fulfilling life.
I think I'd be beaten and bloody at the end of it all. I don't know. I know hindsight experience has shown me that I don't do well going overboard in that. It needs to be tempered, for sure.
Well, a pleasurable life for me is what I started out with, as I started with my honest discussion before with the calming. And that never worked out, because the idea that your pleasurable memories will exceed your unpleasant memories, that to me is a bad bet at the crap table. Let me tell you why. You could have a whole life full of pleasure, and then the last 5 years of your life, you know, you're going through some debilitating disease, right? And you're physically harmed, and it's really... hurt for the last 5 years, and I would think that those are the memories that are going to be closest to you. So the idea of playing that your pleasant memories are going to exceed your unpleasant memories, not a good bet.
It's kind of like McFly going back to the future.
It's not a good deal. That's going a cork in the ocean. Mm. All right, that's not a good bet. Now it's funny that you say that, because all of us mostly live with that kind of as like an implied goal.
Well, isn't it? Look at yourself at the end of the day. Don't you kind of add up in your head? Well, did I have better moments than?
How was your day? And you say it to your kids too. How was your day? I had a great day, Daddy.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I think this requires some reflection. This idea of living a pleasurable life and having the pleasures exceed the no pleasures. First of all, it's a bad bet. You know, and second of all, it's ups and downs, and. It's nowhere near compares to the idea of number three, where you're actually building your inner mind qualities.
Well, I will venture to say that when you build your inner mind qualities, that the life of contribution that comes out of that is more pure and authentic. The significance...
Yeah, three includes four.
But the significance of your life takes on a whole new meaning, as well as the pleasure. Pleasure, as you know it, has been redefined.
Sure.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah. I like the way you said
that.
I think
the leverage
is in terms of one way, but if we look below the surface, it takes on a whole new meaning.
Well, that's significant life option. I've never been a tombstone guy. That doesn't really excite me to say I'm remembered for this or that. But I can see how some people would want that. But again, you know, you can imagine if you were like a Supreme Court justice, right, who worked your whole life on, let's say, civil rights, mm-hmm. And you were betting on a significant life to be remembered for outward accomplishments, and then the last few years of your life, you retire from the court, and some conservative judge or some other judge comes on, or court changes, and that whole thing that you worked for your entire life was wiped out by the court before you. Not a good bet. You can live your whole life trying to be significant, and it's beyond your control. Again, that's, you know I'm an advocate for the inner mind qualities, because that's stuff that's under your control. The other items are...
That's one of the reasons I'm still here studying these qualities and working with them daily, is because they are within my control. I'll tell you what, if I didn't have the control, I wouldn't be here. You know, it is one of those things that you can stick with, because...
Well, this is one you either, you know, it's like the Fram oil filter commercial, you either... Listen to the short term or the long term. So you can live your life with trying to live with these external goals and realize that they're very hard to control, and they're hard. Not only that, but the derivative goals that you have. And in some of these letters that we're going to talk about in the second half, some of the reason why people might have doubt in their life is because they're trying to, their shorter term goals are aligned with these external goals that they can't control. So you're already starting on a
shaky ground.
A shaky ground. You're trying to come up with these short term goals, and no wonder why it's so hard in this doubt, you know? That could be one of the reasons. There's a multitude of reasons why we drop goals and we don't set them. But in any case, this is a good time to take a break and let us get ready for the second half.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is, what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
And we're back.
We're back, and we have going to start with the
letters
from the crowd.
The whole first half hour just kind of flew by.
Okay. So, Tara, why don't you start with comment or anonymous number one.
Okay, so this first, and I have to kind of set it up. It was a little bit longer. I'm not going to read the whole thing, and I'm just going to kind of pick up the highlights of it. And so this particular emailer talks about the, well, I'm going to use the word, this person uses the word frenemies, F-R-E-N-E-M-I-E-S, and for those of, that have heard the word before, it's defined as a person that is friendly despite a fundamental dislike or rivalry. So it's one of these love-hate kind of thingies going on. So this person was talking about how their interest in Buddhism and meditation began in college, and that their meditation practice has been on again, off again over the years. And the practice... I'm not even sure where I'm actually going with this, but they're trying to use this as a backdrop into the determination to get these frenemies, this love-hate relationship going on here, separated. Okay?
Okay.
So...
in other words, put some distance between those frenemies and them and get it to more admirable friends?
I think so. Sorting them out and putting them in their perspective and their proper place and making the skillful
choice.
That's
the determination, or is the determination a practice for reliable happiness? What is their determination, or what are they trying to accomplish?
Well, let's read through.
Okay.
So this person was saying how they think too much. They have a very stressful job in an industry that's known to have very high incidence of depression, anxiety, other dangerous habits. And so these frenemies have utilized these excuses to help plant doubt in this person's mind. And they say reliable happiness isn't really possible. And they use the excuses to drown out the other members of the committee of the mind, make me lazy so I don't put forth the effort of determination.
Oh, yes, I remember this one. And this, so this person's well aware that there's multiple conversations going on, which is very
And
astute.
There's a struggle. So,
yes.
So the highlight is the struggle that's going on between determination and doubt. It's sort of like this tug of war that's going back and forth, back and forth. So the writer says, so why take the effort to put in the practice to work towards reliable happiness? Question mark. And she says, simple, it works. I often use the analogy to physical exercise. If you don't regularly practice, you don't have the endurance to accomplish things. And if you don't practice your mind, you aren't prepared to deal with the stress.
Wow, that's
so
great.
So this person says, I need determination to help follow through to make sure the skillful actions are consistent, to take time to reflect, to take time to take good care of myself, which sounds selfish, but I'm prone to put others' needs, wants, desires before my own and then neglect myself. To be a good friend to myself would be another way to put that. Because if I don't have that determination, my frenemies show up at my committee of the mind and just start taking over, telling me there is something wrong with me and there's no point trying to change it.
So her determination are her good guys.
The determination leads over into cultivating the other ideal mind qualities, but I'll leave that for another day. This letter was just wonderful.
Inspiring.
It was. It was just heartfelt and authentic and just all out there. And it was just, I think a lot of people struggle with those committees of the minds, that tug of war we often have between doubt and determination and, you know.
But she's already recognized, or whoever the writer is, as a she, I'm not supposed to say that, but in any case, this person has recognized that there are voices going on, and that they need to develop determination to help build the other qualities, which is what we said is the overriding quality. And the multiple qualities she builds become almost like other directors at the table to help fight off
the doubt. It counterbalances the doubt.
It's really wise.
It really is.
It's like a poster board for our program.
I thought it was brilliant myself. And just
wonderful.
Well on the way.
Well, you notice how people always talk about willpower. I just didn't have the will to do it, or I had the will to do it. The will precedes the determination out there. If you're finding yourself, if you find yourself without the will to do something,
you're not going to do it.
You'll succumb to those voices that say you can't, you won't, you never will.
Well, that's why you go through periods, and especially like I did after I set goals and realized my ladder was on the wrong wall. I went through a period where I didn't even want to set goals anymore because I just didn't like the outcome. But then you have to, almost like climbing back on a horse, you can't live without goals. Now, the trick is you're not relying on just the outcome of the goals. You have to start thinking about the process to get to the goal, and you've got to be very skillful in coming up with, what do I do now to affect that outcome without dwelling on that outcome? And that's a whole skill in itself.
I fall victim to that, too focused on the outcome and... maybe it's not as realistic as I would.
But you might find that the reason you do that, Carol, is because you haven't taken the time to implement what and think about, contemplate. And this would be the wisdom faculty and discerning what causes do I need to work on the short term. See, a lot of people think a long term goal is something that's out there. Mm-hmm. A long term goal is a function of achieving that goal is a function of what you do in the short term to affect the long term.
Absolutely.
So you have to discern what are the causes that are going to affect that and work on causes and just leave that goal out there. I don't even put a date to my goals. I put dates to the causes because those are real short term. I say, I'm going to work on my cause today because I know today's cause will work on that effect.
And that that looking at the outcome doesn't put things in perspective or any kind of context, so it seems overwhelming. So it's almost dead on arrival before we even start, because we have no way, if we don't break it down into its smallest parts and take those little bits
on the causes that get there.
Yes, then we see this as this huge goal, and it gets to be very
well. What it does is it feeds craving, because what you're doing is you're sitting there. Desire is at work. It already kicked in when you wrote the goal. So you're desirous of X. Let's say you're desirous of running a marathon.
Right.
And it's your outcome hitting out there, okay? So now craving's going to set in. I want, I want, I want. So you start visualizing. And worse yet, lots of advisors say visualize the end game and spend all that time. Well, all you're doing is creating stress for yourself because you haven't broken down. And you do this with your half mile that you're working on, your half marathon, right? It's what do I have to run now? What causes do I have to work on today to affect that outcome?
Right.
And you just work on those. Somebody helped break those down for you in a training program.
Yes.
And you see, now you're going to look up one day and you're going to run that half marathon, but you worked on the causes. You didn't attach to the goal. You took human desire and redirected it. So the answer is not to pretend I don't have desire and say I'm out of these goals. The problem with goal setting is if you don't do it right, you got to learn how to redirect desire on the causes that get the effect.
And going back to the definition, it skillfully directs desire. And so it doesn't say, you know, get rid of it altogether.
No.
I mean,
you can't get rid of desire.
You can't be. Yeah.
It's in us as humans. You've got to redirect it. And that's why the skillfulness in the program is so important. And that's why setting the big picture is so important, because you've got to start with the end in mind. If it's not a skillful big thing in life that you're shooting for, your short-term goals are bound for failure. And that's not what we're going to work on.
And that comes, I mean, that comes right back to the core of the practice, right, is that we're in letting things go, we're going to have to change some habits. We're going to have to make some more skillful choices.
Right.
Newsflash, that determination isn't out there at that level, the choices are not going to add up in a cumulative sort of way to reaching there.
No.
You know, these skillful choices need to be added up. So let's look at another...
Anonymous number two. Go.
Anonymous
number
two. I want
to try to get them all in.
All right. Anonymous number two had written in and kind of focused their determination around their contemplative practice of meditation. The person who shared this with us wanted to kind of go into that, kind of how they started meditation, and that their doubt was there prior to them looking into meditation, and that the doubt kicked in initially, and, you know, would they do it? Would it work? All that stuff kind of came up. And so, and even the thought of sitting still and basically doing nothing for even 5 minutes became intimidating. To see if someone could even do that. So the doubt kicked in there. And then what I liked about this person's letter is that they said, however, the more I learned about the practice and mindfulness, the more determined I was to at least give it a try.
So learning the concept preceded the practice.
Exactly. And so if we go down the line of it, learning a little bit more, wisdom faculty came in, produce a little bit more, and let's continue this experiment. And then going into the actual determination, so I started to try it once or twice a week for 5 minutes. Over the course of the next month or so, I had some success with the five-minute session. So starting off with five-minute sessions, and where does it go from there? The writer says, as my studies continued, it became clear that the sitting and breathing was critical to make any progress in the overall mindfulness practice. I even became more determined to improve my sitting and breathing practice. I increased my sitting over time, twice a day for 5 or 6 days a week. Before long, I was adding walking meditation, sitting longer.
It went from 5 to 15 minutes to 30 minutes, right?
To 30 minutes, correct.
Wow.
And the writer mentioned that it didn't happen quickly, but gradually over time.
That's worth mentioning right there, because I think a lot of us fall short on our goals expecting short-term results.
See, that's, I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what I was saying, that this letter highlighted two things that I saw. One was a realistic view of length of time.
Yes.
And
which was the key to his success.
Yes. And also digestible bites.
Right.
Didn't take it more, just started with a small increment of time and built on it from there, because you had a win, which reinforced your commitment and built confidence. And that's where you added a little bit more. And then the confidence came with that. I mean, with confidence comes more determination.
Mm-hmm.
And look how this person closes. I'm determined to stick with it. For me, in a lot of instances, determination was fleeting. Wow.
Yeah. I saw some
things in here. So that I just want to point out that the writer in this one had put a larger determination on living mindfully.
That's part of their bigger picture.
That's part of their bigger picture. From what it looks like in here, is the driving force for sitting. So the action of meditating is being used towards the overall goal of living a mindful life. So that would be one of the four they put up there, and that these is one of the actions that the writer does on a daily basis to go in line with that overall goal, and it seems to work work well for them.
Excellent.
Do you want me to do number four?
Let's go to number three. I'll do three.
I do want to say one last thing with it, where it says, for me, a lot of instances, determination is fleeting. I would say that if the determination is fleeting, check to see if it is aligned with your overall big-term determination. That's just a little antidote here from the MD.
That's one of the comments, but like I said, it could be that they're focused too much on outcome. A lot of different reasons. Number three, I seem to go for stretches where I can maintain determination in an area like exercise, nutrition, pursuit of some particular subject, and then find my determination for a given objective starts fading. Something I saw clearly months before, the value of being determined about a given endeavor slips out of my grasp. Boy, that's an honest paragraph. I have considered that it may be just autopilot behaviors, thinking, slowly taking back control. In some instance, I think I have lacked discernment in deciding what to be determined about in the first place. So there's a reflection that actually has an answer implied in it. I lack discernment, and so it's almost a call to action right in his own or her own particular writing. In others, when the hard really kicks in, I start to wonder if it's worth it. Doubt if I can push through and determination dissipates. I know my practice has helped me to see the self-sabotage going on. That's a lot like what did you call those?
Frenemies.
Frenemies. So this person's aware that there is some self-talk going on that's kind of undermining the determination. And how is this practice going to strengthen my ability to maintain the determination? So I guess the one way, like you said, Alex, a big one, make sure your big picture is aligned. And if this person is going to our retreat on December 6th, that is the topic of the retreat. It is the big picture. Those four questions we talked about, looking back and living forward.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure your big picture's in line. Secondarily, have you gone through your discernment? She's given us a clue here that the discernment might be waning, not being used. Mm-hmm. But have you gone through and think about the causes that would affect those goals? And are you working on those particular causes in bite-sized pieces on a weekly basis? I would suggest to consider. And are you writing them down?
Mm-hmm.
Goals that are not being written down are certainly subject to failure because you have no way of evaluating the goal and doing what I call close the loop. There has to be the accountability of closing the loop. When you set what causes you're going to work on this week, either with an accountability buddy or with a journal, you got to look at what you said you were going to do against what you did and close the loop.
Reassess, reevaluate it. If you find that
lower the goal or adjust it.
Sure.
I think what's really important about this writer number three here is that just everywhere inside this writing, you see questions, deep questions this person is asking themselves on their own time. And these questions are leading to more appropriate questions.
Yeah.
Because you see a line that says, I consider that may just be autopilot thinking, slowly taking back control. So they've recognized that there was a lack of control on autopilot.
Right.
Now it's creeping back in. The question now becomes, why is that? Back to yourself. What is it I'm doing to allow autopilot to...
This person is very responsible.
Very, very responsible, and
on
I
their
can
way.
See that keep asking those questions. You're on the right track.
I'd like to, if it's okay, I'd like to... there's some problems with determination that keep creeping up that seem to be... prevalent.
Well, let's make sure we get all the material first. Let's close with all that material, the common elements.
Okay. So this one says, thank you for asking for my thoughts about determination. I find that if I have determination towards a skillful behavior, inevitably a sense of doubt will set in. The doubt usually arrives in the form of a thought that says, you are going to fail anyway. You might as well give up now.
There's that voice.
That thought is stressful because I will make mistakes, as we all do. But my mind will view the mistakes as failures. And when I try to ignore the thought, I only feel worse. How can I accept the doubt without acting from it? I'm also very curious about how to strengthen determination while accepting what doubtful thoughts will arise. Boy, that's an honest...
Yeah. Have you got any suggestions?
Well, we find that there's some common determination problems that keep cropping up and that are common to all of these. And so one of these, we might not have faith in our overall purpose in life, which is reliable happiness. We've set unrealistic goals.
Okay.
They're not aligned with perhaps our overall purpose. We've mentioned before that we're too focused with our outcome, so that could be another problem.
Right.
So all of these, it's like a check, you know, is could it be this? Could it be this? It's one of those, you know, diagnose your own.
I know you've done this list really nice of 10 items that are checklists of,
yes.
of whether you've set a good determination. Let's do this. Let's publish that on Facebook.
Okay.
And then also let's send it to the kind people that wrote these letters in. Let's give them that back to them.
I think it'll be helpful because they could go down and they say, they could ask themselves, is this problem, is it because I'm too focused on the outcome?
You've labeled these, Carol, as 10 kinds of potential problems?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could.
Okay. Let's get that done. I want to get one more out there. We've only got a couple minutes left. This again serves with meditation. My meditation is my biggest determination in my life. Sometimes that determination does not feel very strong. I really doubt the practice whenever I'm gripped by a negative emotion, particularly regarding my close relationships. It takes a lot to return to the breath and get caught up in the emotion. Frequently, I am not determined enough to remain with the breath and the situation continues to worsen. Whenever I can remain with the breath, my relationship flourishes. It's an ongoing practice. It's an ongoing practice. I really like that closing of this statement. So this person recognizes they're not trying to whitewash the issues. They're living with some stress. They're working at it.
It's an earnest attempt.
An earnest attempt at keeping going on this. I'm not sure there's a particular answer for this. I would check to make sure that in this case, this person's focusing in on meditation, and it is part of the big context, Alex, that they have a bigger picture in life that they're sorted through.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know when you have the bigger picture sorted through, your meditations go a lot easier. The other thing, of course, is meditation is not an easy process. And like I said, this person seems to have a realistic grip on it. It's a program.
I've been there, I guess, is all I can say is I've been there, and, you know, you go a little bit further.
Keep going.
Go a little bit further, and then send us another update. And then if it's not done then, I'd say go a little bit further. You know, that's the thing about determination is, you know, you're going to have to go through some walls to really see if that determination is as strong as you think it is.
And yeah. And test your boundaries. You know, sometimes fear can be a paralyzing thing and gives you doubt, but try to stretch your limits a little bit. You'd be amazed at what you find on the other side. So I always have this magnet on the refrigerator. Leap and the net will appear.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm going to leave. I want to say a quote that actually comes from Buddha that said, the purpose of the practice is to see what you've never seen before, realize what you've never realized before. And many of the things that you've never seen or realized lie outside the limits of your imagination. And that's all about determination. You've got to be prepared to reach and think outside the box. So we are getting ready to close. And Carol, the call to action here is going to be to write that list of all those common aspects. We'll get those
posted
on Facebook tomorrow as well as email to all of our listeners. And
we really packed a lot in tonight.
I know, but it's such an important, that determination's a big one. Anything else to add before we close, folks?
I got nothing else.
Keep living.
See you next Tuesday. Some of you will see you Thursday. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, Our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.